Okay, so we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we've now moved into chapter 6 of Matthew. As we said before, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had been teaching all over Israel, crowds kept gathering, and he decided to begin his public ministry, and this was his first major sermon. And we're going to read chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, whatever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by people. I assure you, they got their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whatever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That last part of glory and the honor forever, that is listed as possibly having been,
added later.
Yeah. But it's still a good thing. For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your Heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing. Whenever you fast, don't be sad-faced like the hypocrites. For they make their faces unattractive, so their fasting is obvious to people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so you don't show your fasting to people, but to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to follow it. Help us to know how we should live. Go with us throughout our lives and make us your people in Jesus' name. Amen. There was actually a book that was put out by Charles Colson that was called How Now Shall We Live? And it dealt with very similar things to this. Things that Christians should do and should not do. Stands that we should take and things that we should just let it go. And how should we live our lives? So Jesus looks at three specific areas here. First, he talks about giving. He says, don't be open about it. Don't do it for everybody to see. At one point, he, in one of the Gospels, he has a thing where this guy who's got a lot of money, and he would come and he would make a big deal of throwing all of his money into they had these big things that were like open at the top, and where he'd spin it so that it would go around and around and everything, and then it would come down in it. And he wanted everybody to know how much he was giving. Well, this one lady who came along was old and poor and everything, and she just put in two mites, which they said that each mite was less than a penny. And that's all she had to live on. but she gave it to God because it was important to her to give to God. And he said, she's the one who God honored, not the guy who gave from his surplus. God will reward you rather than people. When people reward you, it actually takes away part of your reward from God, because God's saying you already got your reward. When nobody knows what you're doing, God says, I'm going to take good care of you because you are not doing this unto people as a show. You're doing it unto me out of dedication. He says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. That's where we actually get that phrase from. It's amazing how many things are in the Bible that people use them as sayings, and they don't even know where they came from. Well, that's where it came from. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand did. That's the way you're doing what God wants, and you're doing for God. And you tend to just forget it because you're not making a big deal of it and it just passes along. But God's still marking that down. Yeah, yeah. This is what he did. And then he talks about praying. There's a famous story that I once heard about a pastor, and he had this deacon who was very self-righteous. So he called the deacon at the beginning of church and asked him to open in prayer. And he went on and on for about 10 minutes. And so the pastor went on, did a little. Then he had the offering. So he asked this same guy to pray about that. So he went on and on for about 5 minutes. And so another time came, I was about to do the sermon, and he asked this guy to pray. Well, he went about 1 minute this time. And so the pastor says, well, I think we've just about run down the deacon here, so now we can get on to talking to God. Well, that's what this was all about, was that they did this to make this great show. And we see this all around us. It's not necessarily just prayer. We see politicians who make all of these long speeches. Now, some of them, they're making good speeches. They're saying things that nobody is saying that need to be said. That's one thing. Others are just trying to show everybody what a great orator they are. This is why they said that Abraham Lincoln beat Stephen Douglas in all of the Lincoln-Douglas debates, because Douglas was trying to be this great orator. And as we have often said about many of these people, talked and talked and talked, but never said anything. Lincoln would very succinctly say things, and the people heard it, and they said, well, that makes sense. I understand that. I don't need all this flowery language. I don't need all this going on and on and on and tiring me out. Just tell me what you think. Well, that's kind of what God's saying. And he's also saying, don't pray just so that people see you. It's between you and God. It's not between you and everybody in the world. Now, as we know, there are certain times that you're supposed to pray in Judaism. Well, these guys would set it up so that they were always right at the busy street corner just when the time came that you have to pray. And so then they would show everybody what a great spiritual person they were by their great long spiritual prayers. But God said, that's not what I want. I want sincerity from you. I want you to sit here and talk to me. It's between you and God. Go into a quiet place and just talk to God. Don't make a big deal about it. And spend a lot of time listening. Prayer is about communication. not about telling God what you want and what you think is best, though I do that all the time, but then I always feel it from the Spirit saying, now sit back and wait and let God tell you what He thinks about this. Make your prayer direct and get to the point and tell God what's bothering you and tell God what you want to talk to Him about. And one of the things you may want to talk to Him about is how much you love Him and how grateful you are for the stuff He did for you. Now, God knows what you need. So Jesus said, here's the model prayer. Now, we always call it the Lord's Prayer and all this stuff. It's actually just a little model. It's a very succinct thing that hits all the stuff that we need to pray about. First of all, honor God. We say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, your name is held high above everybody else. Okay, we're honoring God right at the start. And we tell Him, your will be done. Now, sometimes we're not being real honest about that because we don't want His will to be done. We want our will to be done. But you know what? If your will matches God's will, you always get what you want. The problem is aligning yourself with God to such a point that you want what He wants, and then you can sit back and say, oh, there it is. That's just what I prayed for. Give us what we need. Give us today our daily bread. Just give us what we need. Now, there are people who live. They have hordes of money, but they live daily. They just get what they need for today. And that's why they've got this big bank account sitting back there. And then every now and again, they'll look at it and they'll go, this thing's getting too big. I got to do something with it. I bet there's somebody who needs some of this. And that's where you give your giving out of your surplus, out of what God has given to you. You see, that's why God doesn't give me a lot of money, because I probably wouldn't do that. I keep it. But He knows people that if He gives them much money, they'll say, well, I don't want all this money. Let's give it to somebody. So I always ask Him, okay, bring me to that point. Because I figure if I was at that point, I'd end up with more in the first place anyway. But, and then He says, forgive us when we fail, and help us to forgive others who have failed us. And later He talks about the fact that if you're not forgiving people around you, God's probably not going to forgive you. And sometimes we don't understand what's going on with these people. Famous thing, said this a couple of times. When I was in the Philippines, guy did me really badly. And Pat said, you've got to pray for him. I said, I don't want to pray for him. If he gets saved, he'll go to heaven and he'll spoil it. And everybody thought, well, that's kind of funny. You shouldn't feel like that. Well, this one pastor told me, he said, no, you don't understand. If he gives his life to Christ, he won't be him anymore. He'll be a new creation. And I thought, oh my goodness, I hadn't thought of that. So if we pray for our enemies, and we pray that they'll come to Christ, they'll be a new creation. And it may make our lives much easier. Forgive us, but help us forgive others. Keep us out of temptation and protect us from the devil. That is a very serious thing. See, Greg Laurie this morning was talking about temptation. And he said that there was Oscar Wilde was this guy, and he said, I can resist anything but temptation. And so we need to not be brought into temptation. My famous saying that I got from a pastor we used to know is that God will never tempt you beyond your ability to resist. I just wish he didn't trust me so much, because I keep getting myself in jams. Keep us out of temptation. Protect us from the devil. Sometimes we need direct protection from the devil. There are times, and it's probably not actually the devil himself. Okay? Devil probably is now after Greg Laurie, and Franklin Graham, now that Billy Graham's died. Those were the bigwigs that he was after. They were the ones who were bringing millions into the kingdom. He's not that worried about me. Then again, I don't know. It's always talked about that some barber in North Carolina led Billy Graham to Christ. We don't know if he ever led anybody else, but he led Billy Graham to Christ. Now, what came out of that? So, I don't know who I've led to Christ. And it might turn out that that's the guy. And I won't even know it till I get to heaven. But that's the point. Is you don't worry about that. You just keep telling everybody about Jesus. Greg Laurie was talking this morning about how that I don't think I can convince people about the existence of God. And he says you don't have to convince anybody about the existence of God. You just tell them about the good news. And you bring them to the point where they say, if there's a God, then this is what I want. And I've also said this before. I had a friend, and he didn't like God because God was a father. He didn't like his father because his father always beat him up. And I said to him, no, Lonnie, not your father, like my father. And I thought, he may get mad. No, he just went silent. Because all of a sudden, the light came on. And real quietly said, if God's like your father, I want him right now. And he came to Christ on the spot. And my dad never probably even knew it. But it was his example of being a mighty man for God that was what this young man wanted. And he said, if God's like that, I'll have him right now. Come on, let's do it. We need to be that person who is leading people to Christ. And the third thing was fasting. Now, I'm not good at fasting. You can probably tell. You know, I'm not at the point where I have to stick out my arm to see if I'm walking or rolling anymore, but I'm still a little bit, you know, portly here. It was funny because the other day I'm coming out of the gym all wore out, and this guy's walking in, and literally, he looked like he needed to put out his arms to see if he was walking or rolling. And I'm just thinking that, and I'm just as the Lord is putting on my heart that, Walter, you shouldn't think that. I hear somebody talking to him, and he says, well, if I keep coming here, I think this will get better. And I'm saying, Lord, you bless that man. I know what he's going through because this is killing me. Right? What must it be like for him? But at any rate, that's the whole point, is once you find out what this guy wants, then you can pray for that. Okay? But I'm not good at fasting. That's just it. And right now, I'm blessed because I have diabetes and I'm not allowed to fast. But at any rate, but he says, if you do, don't act like you're in just agony so you get pity. Oh, poor me. I'm fasting. Oh, I don't know if I'm just going to pass out on the ground because I'm such a holy person that I'm fasting so much. He said, don't even let anybody know. Smile, comb your hair, look good. And God knows that you're giving up stuff for him And if you don't have diabetes or some other reason not to eat, then it's good for you because you'll start losing weight. But he says, wash your face so that nobody knows. If you're looking bad, clean it up. Make sure that everybody knows that you're fine. That, you know, God knows you're fasting. They think you're just fine. Everything's good. God will see you and he will reward you for this. I see what you're doing. I see you're following my instruction. I'm going to take care of what you want. Now, sometimes we fast in special ways. It was humorous because there was this guy that in the Old Testament that he decided that he would not eat anything sweet. It's not that he's not eating. He's just not eating anything sweet. He's saying, God, I'm giving that up to let you know how serious I am about what I'm praying for. And he was praying for the return of the people to Jerusalem from Babylon. But that's, well, you don't have to fast by not eating anything and getting all lightheaded and falling over. You can fast for a particular thing. The Catholics used to have this, give up such and such for Lent. You know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You're saying, in this season, I have things I'm praying for, and I'm going to remember that I'm praying for them because I'm going to wish I could have whatever it is I gave up. And then when it's all over, I'll go back to it, and the Lord will say, I saw that, and now I'm going to honor what you did. So what does all this mean to us? That's always the heart of this. First of all, be a cheerful giver, but don't flaunt it. Okay? We've had people who have supported this church who have given a fair amount of money, cheerfully. We have had people who have shown up and said, I know you need this amount for this thing. Here it is. Don't tell anybody. My son was going off to the discipleship training school for YWAM. And one of the people at our sponsoring church felt led by the Lord to sponsor him. He said, what does it take? What does your son need? And I told him, how much? And I thought he'll give some of it or whatever. No. He just wrote a check for the whole thing, and off he went. Okay? And I'm convinced that's what got Jeremiah squared away. He came back, and I walked up to Pat, and I said, who is this, and what have they done with Jeremiah? I mean, just discipleship training school just changed my kid totally. Give as God leads you. If God says, I want you to give this, don't worry that you think it's too much. And don't worry that you think it's too little. Give as God says that you should give. What he says, this is what you need to give to this. It's humorous because Pat and I always have these things for special offerings, like Lottie Moon. And I'll say, well, I thought we would give this. And she goes, that's exactly what I was thinking. And God is telling both of us the same thing. And so we're in agreement. Pray in private. Now, this is not to say we don't pray publicly, like we come here and we pray. But you may notice I'm not a long, ornate prayer. That's just the way I am. Okay? When I was younger, I was a fairly good orator. That I would, you know, I could get into debate and I could get all this kind of stuff. When I became a preacher, I found that you distill things into the heart of the message so that people get it. And when you pray with the heart of the message. When we prayed the other day for Roxana, there was a thing. We all agreed together that has power. God says, if more than two of you, if two or more of you agree on earth, I'll do it.
Well, he'll
hear
us.
Pray in private. And if you fast, keep it to yourself. It's a good thing. If you find out somebody's fasting, tell them, hey, that's a good thing. But don't go around telling everybody when you fast. If somebody finds out, they'll probably tell you, hey, you know, that's really good. But you don't go around trumpeting your great achievements. Because if you do, God says, you've had your reward. I have nothing for you now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We've been here tonight. We thank you for your word that tells us how to live our lives, how to give, how to pray, how to fast, how to be your people. Lord, we just ask you to help us to do this. Show us your will and help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.